Good morning. How are you doing today? Good, good, good. If you would, grab your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah. We'll start there in chapter 9. As you're turning there, just want to mention a couple of things. Tonight, we will have our quarterly church conference. We will give an update. Just so you know, our last conference, we voted to purchase some land that is directly to It's connected to us on that side of our church. There's a big open lot. And behind us, we actually do not own what we park in behind us. And so the land is 5.2 acres. It actually goes to the side and wraps around behind us, back behind Tractor Supply over here. And so just want to let you know that's exciting as we have voted to do that. And just know that the Lord has a plan for it. And so super excited, but we'll discuss that and celebrate what the Lord has been doing just in our church and what he has for us in 2026 as we look forward to that. Super excited. And so you will want to be there tonight. Hopefully you plan to do that. Today, as we continue with Advent, Advent is the coming. As we look to the coming of Jesus, we celebrate his first coming as he came and born in the manger. But also we look forward to his second coming. And today, as we talk about peace, it is a little bit different because Jesus actually says that he didn't come to bring peace, but came to bring a sword. And so we'll look at that, unpack that. What does this mean for our lives? What does this mean and to be lived out day in and day out? And how do you and I, how can we live in such a way to where there is peace in our lives and that it is a peace that does surpass understanding? And so super excited as we dive in. I want to start off looking here at the prophecy of Isaiah as he talks about a child will be born. Mind you, this is hundreds of years before Jesus came. And here is the prophecy. We'll start in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Hear the prophecy that one will come. A child will be born, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so, then when the angels came and declared that there would be one, or one who has been born, who is peace, in Luke 2, looked at the Advent candle today. I want to remind you, in Matthew 10, Jesus says this: Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Such a difficult passage here, but one that I think that we see in our day and time on a regular basis. We see that right now throughout the world that there is persecution and even radical beliefs contrary to the Word of God, that if a child were to surrender their life to the Lord, they would be seen as turning their back upon their parents and upon their heritage, upon their ancestors. There is a very neat ministry that is happening at TU. I don't know how much I can say I assume I can say whatever, but it's called the International Student Ministry. Amazing ministry that is happening at TU, where they specifically love on international students, and TU has hundreds of them. And I tell you, it was amazing last night. The Penningtons hosted a one part of a progressive dinner, and as 50 people come into their house, most of them from other countries, and just being able to hear stories. And this is literally reality for many of these students. Faced with this decision, if they follow Christ, they may be considered going against their own household. And so the reality, as Jesus has said here, bringing, not coming to bring peace, but a son against his father, or a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother. I mean, this is reality. Think of the persecution that is happening in Nigeria right now. Thousands of Christians being killed. Right now, persecution in Ethiopia has cranked up. I've been to Ethiopia several times, and that wasn't the case just a few years ago. And so what I'm saying is that you can see that Jesus is saying that here I come and I'm putting households against one another. So why then is it exciting, or do we come and we worship the Prince of Peace when he talks about being peace, a God of peace? And so I'm excited as we dive in. Jesus, as he met with his disciples, he's getting ready to be arrested and ultimately taken to the cross. He tells his disciples, "Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen? Here we have a God. Jesus is telling his disciples, you're getting ready to be scattered. You're getting ready to turn against or act like you don't even know me. And yet, I want to tell you, I tell you these things that you will have peace. Take note. Take heart. This is be courageous. I have overcome the world. And it is the same hope that he gives us. It's the same promise of peace, that even in a world of tribulation, even in a world of chaos, even in a world where there is so much going on, you and I can, in whatever situation we find ourselves in, have peace. And so, how do we have that? How do we do that? Well, think with me, maybe late at night, getting ready to go to bed, another notification goes off on your phone. It's just another added maybe news break of some sort of violence or brokenness in this world, other wars that are going on. You feel the weight of it. Your heart races. Maybe you're already dealing with loss or struggle in life. Maybe there's not security in your job situation, or maybe you have a child or family member, a stressed relationship there. You try to lay down, you try to go to sleep, your heart only races. And so you call out maybe a prayer to God. God, where is this peace that is promised? And try all that you can to go to sleep. Have you ever been in that moment where you're like, just go to sleep. Come on, just go to sleep. How about sleep right now? You know, but your heart is racing. It's anxious over everything. What do you do? What do you do when everything, your mind is going on all that is worry, and where is this peace that is promised? And so today I want to give you hope that the promise of God is that even in the midst of all of the chaos, the struggles, the brokenness, the storms that we face in this world, we have a God who has literally overcome the world. And he tells us that he is with us, and he promises peace. And so, where does this peace come from? And this is what I want to hone in on today. We looked at several of them already as we talked in the reading of the Advent, but I want to remind us of a few. The first one that I want you to see is that there is peace with God. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you look at this weary world. I want to tell you that you can find rest because there is peace with God. Because of what Jesus has done, because of going to the cross, because you and I have been justified, because there is justice now against our sin, because of the price of what Jesus has done upon the cross, we can have peace. Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings." Did you hear him say that? We rejoice in our sufferings? Why? This isn't the only place Paul says this. Paul says this in James, that he says, "Account it all joy when you face trials of many kinds." And he explains it, knowing that suffering will produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You and I, think about this. Because you and I are now at peace with the most holy God, we can have peace and walk through peace in this world. There is peace with God. No longer are you in hostility. No longer is there now condemnation for those who are in Christ, but because of what Christ has paid for upon the cross, there is peace. What a great promise that we have. Not only is there peace with God, but you and I can experience the peace of God. If you deal with worry or anxiety, a great promise, a passage to lean to or turn to is one in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, he tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This week I was speaking at the John 3:16, their recovery program on Tuesday, and there was a gentleman who came to me afterward, and as we were talking, the message was about being the light of the world. And anyway, he was asking me about how he can walk in peace and how he can walk with the Lord. And so I quoted him this verse, and he says, "Well, what is supplication?" Well, supplication is just a request. It is an asking of the Lord. And so we're to come to him with prayer as we commune with him, and requests. What do we request? I think that sometimes we say things in church like, "Well, just go to Jesus," or "just believe in Jesus." And so what does that look like? Well, so in a practical situation, maybe go back to the night where your heart is racing, you're anxious, you're stressing about, most of the times it's things we have no control over anyway, but you're stressing just about life and situations. Then practically what this would look like is that in that moment we would pray. We would come into the very presence of God. We would be reminded of the authority and the power of God, and that he has a plan even in the midst of whatever struggle or storm or situation we find ourselves in, and we're reminded. We put ourselves in the right position of our God. "God, I need you. God, I'm nothing without you. Remind me what it is that I do and can have effect in." And sometimes there is. Sometimes we can do something in obedience to help in a situation. A lot of times that's usually in a situation, a relational situation that I can go to or help in. But most of the time it is us coming before our God and acknowledging that he has all power and that he has all authority, and that he can use the current situation that we find ourselves in and gain glory even in that. And so we go to him and we acknowledge. And you know what the promise is that he will guard your heart and your mind. This word guard is a beautiful word in the religion original language. Look at this. It is a word that means standing guard. Did I give you that slide, if you don't mind? Yeah, there you go. Phroreo, it means to guard or protect by a military guard, either to prevent hostile invasion or to take the inhabitants of a besieged city from flight. So here's the picture, is that as we run to the Father and we trust him by faith, I believe that you have this under control. I believe you have a plan even in the midst of this. I believe that you are on the throne, even though I don't know how I'm going to take my next step. He guards our hearts. He guards our hearts and our minds from taking it too far. He brings it into a right understanding that we will trust him and follow him and even take our next step according to what he would lead us to do. And so there is this peace of God then that comes. It is a felt peace. It is one that calms our hearts. It is one that stills our minds. It is one that literally will bring rest. And so we must trust him. It is one that we do so by faith. Much of our walk with the Lord doesn't require faith. And what I mean by that is a lot of what we do on a day-to-day basis really doesn't require faith. It is moments in time where we call to him, then we take steps of faith. Does that make sense? If we just coast through life, if we just go through each day, do the things we're supposed to do, that doesn't require faith. But in moments of time where he gives us promises and the Holy Spirit shows us, or maybe we're tempted, we have a decision, do I apply faith in this moment? That's why we must abide with him so that then we can and we're apt to. But otherwise, we'll be tempted to just lean on our own understanding. That's why then things, and listen, I don't at all want you to hear me say that if you are anxious or worried at all, that somehow you're not believing God. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that in these moments, I have found in my own life that is when I call to him, it is when I trust in him, that he eases those. And I believe that that's where we should go to first. Amen? So not only peace with God, and then experience the peace of God, but then I believe the promise is that we'll have peace with others. Here, the context of Ephesians chapter 2 is one of Gentile and Jew. And bringing the two together, there's no more hostility because those who were far off now are brought close. But I do think that, and that's the context, but I do want you to know that there are hostilities that if we're not careful, we allow to creep into our lives. And here the promise is that as we come to God together, he breaks down those walls of hostility. And so listen to it as he encourages. For he himself is our peace, talking about Jesus, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Jesus, in going to the cross, has made it to where you and I, regardless of whatever background, you and I can be unified with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can stand together because of the Spirit of God that is in us. And so there will be differences at times. Yes, there will be times when there might be things we can't agree on, but as we are unified together because of the Holy Spirit, we can identify that. We can stand within her. Then he breaks down this wall of hostility. And so I want to encourage you. Think about own relationships, maybe with other brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes in our own families or in our own church faith family. And are there things that you can do to lay down pride or to be humble to go to them? Maybe someone has wronged you or spoken against you. And go to the source. Go right to them. Look them in the eye. Love them. Ask for forgiveness. Be humble. How would God lead you to be at peace with others? You see, that ultimately what I believe is that as the light of Christ is in us, that we can let that light shine to others, that they too would be pointed to glorify the one true God. And that is the heart that he has called us to have. Fourth thing I want us to see is that we can have peace in the midst of chaos. Here we live in this world of brokenness, of wars, of hostilities, and yet there can be peace in the midst of chaos. Going back to where we started in John chapter 16, Jesus says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You and I, we can respond to hostility with kindness. We can respond with forgiveness. We can respond with gentleness and love as we are walking with and trust and apply the faith of Jesus to our lives. One clear picture of this, Corrie ten Boom, after surviving the Nazi concentration camps, she met the very guard who had tormented her sister Betsy and who died in the camp. And this guard had come forward after she had spoke, and he asked her for forgiveness. She said that everything in her screamed out, no, I will not forgive. But she said that she silently prayed, Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. She said that as she raised her hand to shake his, she later wrote, when I did, the most incredible thing happened. I felt a warmth, a love, a peace flow from my shoulder, down my arm, into our joined hands, and I discovered something. When Jesus commands us to love our enemies, he gives the love himself. One of the things that as we apply, as we step out, as we are obedient to God in faith, it is the Spirit that he places in us that empowers. It helps us to overcome. This morning, I got to sit down with a couple and just hear their testimonies of what God has been doing in their lives. And one of them had overcome some big things of addiction and things in their life. And he pointed to the power of the Spirit of God to overcome. And man, I was just reminded, you and I have that Spirit of God in us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And so as we do, it is that Spirit that brings us peace in the midst of turmoil. It is the promise that now we stand with peace, peace with God because of what Jesus has done upon the cross. It is that same peace, the peace of God that guards our hearts and our minds as we walk through this broken world. It is the peace that we can have with others and lay down pride and can humbly go and love one another because of the Spirit that is in us. And even in the midst of tribulation, trials, suffering, there is a God of peace who brings that and allows us to live. And the prayer is that we would so let that light shine in us. You know, you don't light a candle and put it under a basket. No. A city that's on a hill can't be hidden. Instead, you're to let it shine so that all who see it will be drawn to worship the one true God. And so you, having the light of Jesus in you, you and I both, let us, this Christmas season and every day of our life, let us trust the peace that he has promised. Let us walk in that power of the Spirit and let us let the light of Christ shine in our lives. But it will require us to be intentional. It will require us to take steps of faith. And that is what I pray, that as we bow before the Lord, that each one of us will apply to our lives. And so, in the way of application, I have a couple of things that I just want to challenge you with. Will you commit to run to Jesus when worry or anxiety starts? As it even comes upon your mind, when you first think about whatever it is, that you'll be reminded, You'll run to Jesus so that that peace will guard your heart and your mind. You'll be reminded of his power, of his authority. You'll be reminded that this is not your home and that he has gone to prepare a place for you, an inheritance that will never spoil or fade. And so you will rest then and be comforted in that peace. Will you walk in the peace of Christ? It is this peace as you abide in, as brokenness surrounds, it is that peace that will continue to encourage you to take steps. Trust him. Will you let the peace of Christ point others to Jesus? In this peace, as you let the light of Christ shine, trust him. Trust him, and in so doing, will point to others, others to Jesus as well. Will you surrender your life to Jesus? In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I've said this before, but when I first became a Christian, I think I've always tried to earn the approval maybe of my father, and so I worked hard and thinking that he would be proud of me, and I think initially I just put this upon the Heavenly Father. And so I worked hard and never felt like I was doing enough. And so I would work all the harder. Peace and rest was definitely not something that I would have described my walk with the Lord at the time. It was so freeing when I realized that I am to walk with him and be empowered by him. And so then when I say yes to things, it is the best yes because it is things that have been led by and empowered by the Spirit of God. In this picture here, he says, "Take my yoke upon you." This yoke is a yoke of tying two oxen together that way they would work and walk alongside of one another. And so Jesus is ultimately saying, do it my way. Walk with me and alongside of me. I'm right there. What a great picture. And he even says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Some of us, maybe this morning, just need to hear, do it God's way. Trust his plan, not your own. And how that finds rest is because, one, you're reminded that you're yoked with Jesus. You're right there. He's right there with you to empower you, to comfort you. But another is, I think some of us just need to hear, quit doing it your way. Quit trying to do it the way that you want to do it. Are you not tired of getting your own result? And so, trust him. And he promises that you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so today, are you exhausted? And Jesus says, come to him. Take his yoke, you will find rest. Walk in peace, trust him, and in that you will along the way have opportunities to point people and give a reason for the hope that you have. Trust him, look to him. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this promise that the angels announced that the Prince of Peace has come. We thank you for the prophecies, even pointing to one who would be born. We thank you for sending Jesus to die upon the cross, to pay the price for our sins, to deal justly with each of us. And so, God, now that we have been justified, now that we have become in a right standing with you, help us to walk with you, to trust you, to live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel, to be quick to point people to where our hope and where our peace comes from. And so, God, I pray that today, that each one of us would live our lives moment by moment in the very peace of Jesus. So thank you. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for the price that has been paid. Help us, Lord, to respond to you in a way that would bring you honor, that is of faith. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.